providence. Providence is not a word we use often. It means divine guidance or care. We've all been through a great deal since March of 2020. I've learned one thing over the last year and a half. There's not one part of pandemics that are fun. It's been a tough year and a half. Social ties with family and friends were basically extinguished, cut off. Millions of people lost work. They lost their jobs. It's been a financially difficult year and a half for many, many of our brothers and sisters. Even worse, over 610,000 have lost their lives to COVID. Those are family, our mothers, our fathers, brothers, sisters, uncles, nieces. And that's just in the United States alone. Consider around the world how many have lost their lives. But you know what? Through it all, our Father has remained in control. He is on the throne. Father's providence offers divine guidance and care to those who love and serve Him. I'm sure most of you have felt that providence at one point or another more often during the last 18 months. Let's begin our study with the Song of Moses today. Deuteronomy 32, most of you know where it's at. Very important song. Why? Well, if you plan on being one of the overcomers of Antichrist, you're going to be singing the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb, as it's written in Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. We're going to be singing that song in victory. You know why? Because not everyone is going to be an overcomer. We're going to be celebrating by singing the Song of Moses. We ask that word of wisdom in Yeshua's precious name, Father. We ask you to open eyes, open ears this day as we begin our study. Deuteronomy chapter 32, the actual title to the song, you'll find in the last verse of chapter 31. Chapter 32, verse 1, and it reads, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." We're talking about the words of our Heavenly Father. He's calling heaven and earth to witness against you or for you. I hope you fall into the group that heaven and earth witness for you. And if you're singing this song, as it's written in Revelation 15:3, it will be because you have had the victory over the Antichrist. "My doctrine," or teaching, "shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew." Dew, for the most part, some of the most pure water you can find. "As the small," or the former, "rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." If we backed up to Deuteronomy chapter 11, we would learn that if you do things God's way, He promises the former and the latter rain. The former rain, which allows the seed of a plant to germinate and spring forth into a plant. The latter rain falls on the plant so that it can mature and eventually produce fruit on its own. If you take that to a spiritual level, God's word is that rain, the former and the latter rain. "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe," or "give ye greatness unto our God." Why do we go to church? Well, One of the reasons we go to church is to give greatness unto our God. We fellowship by worshiping our Heavenly Father together and praising His name. Hallelujah in the Hebrew tongue. He is the rock. Notice the capital R. His work is perfect or truth. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. I'm glad He's the judge for that reason. Nobody's going to be accusing you of something you didn't do. Nobody's going to be railroading you. You're going to be judged, and you're going to get exactly what you deserve because of this verse. He's fair. He's truth. He's incapable of lying. Notice that capital R. There is a false rock. That's the Antichrist. His children are addressed in the next verse. They have corrupted themselves. We're talking about the Kenites. Their spot is not the spot of His children. Why? They're not His. Matthew chapter 13, verse 39. Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower to His disciples. He says, the tares in verse 12, excuse me, verse 38 of chapter 13, we learn the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. Doesn't get much more plain than that, beloved. And you know what? That's why we're going to be singing the song of Moses in victory. Because you know who the Kenites are. You know Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. You know those who claim to be of Judah, but are not. They're of the synagogue of Satan, and they do lie. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Jesus Himself called them as such in the New Testament. Do you thus requite or reward the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? That song, Blessed Assurance. One of the phrases I just noticed, purchase of God, referring to Jesus Christ. He purchased all of us. Exodus 18, verse 4, excuse me, Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine, saith the Lord. Hath He not made thee and established thee? Of course. This brought to mind Isaiah chapter 29, verse 16. It reads basically that you turn things upside down. And isn't just as the potter, and the work says to the potter, He made me not. The thing framed says of the framer, He had no understanding. He didn't know what He was doing when He made me. Children are allowed to say today, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. Or, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. You know what that is? That's just like the potter and the work. He didn't know what He was doing when He made me. I'm going to change it. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Go all the way back to the mark that was placed on Cain. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Many of our elders are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, all the minor prophets, Paul in the New Testament. Ask them, they will tell you. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He gave them the promised land. They inherited houses they didn't build. They inherited vineyards they didn't plant. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. Jacob always stated for the natural seed line, all 12 of the tribes of Israel. He, being God, found him, Jacob, in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He guided him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. The apple is the pupil of the eye, most sensitive part of your body, one of the most. And he cared for Jacob just as he cared for the own pupil of his own eye. You know what? He cares about you the same if you love and serve him. Do you know how much your Heavenly Father loves you? As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young. Young means helpless, dependent. And a young eagle is totally dependent on its parent for nourishment, for care. Spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. That's how much your Heavenly Father loves you. He cares for you just like an eagle parent cares for its young. Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. We learn that the serpent is going to be tossed out of heaven onto earth. And to the woman, who is symbolic of Israel, in verse 14, was given two wings of an eagle that she might escape into the wilderness for time and times and half time. That's how much your Heavenly Father loves you. That woman, not only symbolic of Israel, but symbolic of God's election as well. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. You know why we're going to be singing the song of Moses as we celebrate being victorious over the Antichrist? Because we had no strange God with us, including the Antichrist. Not everyone's going to be able to say that, beloved. The whole world, with the exception of those who are written in the book of the Lamb, are going to be deceived by the Antichrist. He made him, God speaking, made Jacob ride on the high places of the earth, victorious in placing other nations in subjugation, that he might eat the increase of the fields, the Lord divinely guiding, the Lord caring and feeding. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Butter of kine. That's kine is just another word for cow. All the best, in other words. The milk of sheep, the fat, put for the best of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys or embryo of wheat, from which comes bread. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape, the wine. I think the latter two pointing to Holy Communion, the kidney or the embryo of the wheat, from which the bread that we partake of, and the blood of the grape, the wine that we partake of in communion. Divine guidance and care. We all felt it. We all feel it in our everyday lives. Many teach that Psalm 23 is a psalm of death, when quite to the contrary, it concerns the Good Shepherd in resurrection. Turn with me to Psalm 23. Now, if you want to talk about a death psalm, back up to the previous psalm, Psalm 22, as most of you know, records the events and the actual crucifixion of Jesus Christ, even down to the Roman soldiers casting lots, gambling for his clothing. Psalm 23, a psalm of David, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Underline that verse, beloved. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And if you're loving and serving him, you won't want for anything. Why? He knows your needs. He created you, or was there when you were created, as it's written in John chapter 1, verse 1. You shall never want for anything if Jesus is your shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He guides us to still waters. Do you want that divine guidance in your life? Be sure and follow when he leads. When I see cows laying down in a pasture early on in the day, chewing on their cud, it reminds me of this verse. You see, cows that don't have enough to eat aren't laying down in green pastures at 10 o'clock in the morning chewing their cud. They're walking around looking for something else to eat. If the Lord is your shepherd, you're not going to be like that, looking for something else to eat. He feeds us, I think spiritually, and he feeds us well. John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's how much he loves you. Yea, though I walk through the valley, didn't say I stopped there, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's the same word as leadeth in verse 2. He guides you. He cares for you. That's what providence means. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Another psalm, he says, touch not mine anointed. And you know what, beloved? He means it. Don't mess with God's elect, or you are in big trouble with the Father. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That table he prepares before you is filled with this, the Word of God. He feeds us well. Why do we go to church? One of the reasons we go to church is to praise the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 34. I usually only like to do one psalm in a message, but we're going to do two today. Psalm 34. Why we go to church. Psalm 34 is an acrostic psalm. It's divided into 22 I'll say verses, although in the Hebrew language we don't have verses. The letter vow, which is equivalent to our V, is omitted from the acrostic. The letter pay, which is equivalent to P in the English, is duplicated. The superscription, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Abimelech is a name for many of the Philistine kings, much as Pharaoh was the name of many kings of Egypt. Caesar was a name of several who led Rome. So Abimelech could be anybody of the Philistines. This one in particular is Achish, the king of Gath. You can read about this in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 11, and the following verses. But you see, David was giving the Philistines fits. Remember the ladies of Israel, when they would return from war, would say, saying, Saul killed his thousands, David killed his tens of thousands. Made Saul mad, but it was true. And, you know, those thousands that David killed of the Philistines were these people that he was going to their city, Gath. Some of them were their fathers, their brothers, their nephews, their uncles. They made David. They knew who he was. So what did David do? He acted crazy. He started scribbling on the gate of Gath. He let drool or dribble run down his beard. And they brought him to Achish and said, well, what do you want to do with him? He said, get him out of here. He's crazy. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The first 11 verses of this acrostic have to do with praise. The second 11 have to do with instruction. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I'll celebrate the Lord, you could translate this. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. This you could translate the patient or the oppressed for the word humble. This is a psalm of deliverance of the oppressed. You ever feel oppressed? Well, listen up. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's why we come to church. One of the reasons we come to church is to exalt his name together. I've missed it. I know many of you have as well. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Did that say some of my fears? No. He delivered me from all of my fears. The pandemic has changed the world. The pandemic has changed a lot of the people in the world. It hasn't changed the Word of God. He will deliver you from all of your fears, even anything brought on that a pandemic can bring on, beloved. The oppressed, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They were lightened. You ever heard of yoking up with Jesus Christ? You want your burdens lightened? You want your load eased? Yoke up with Jesus Christ and be lightened. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Did that say some of his troubles? All of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. He guides you. He cares for you. That's providence. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Do you trust in the Lord? Yeah, I think most of you do. A lot of people in this world don't trust in the Lord, and you can see they're not blessed. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Young lions are probably the strongest, best hunters. From time to time, they even go hungry. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He feeds us, and he feeds us well. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. That completes the first 11, the praise verses of this psalm. Now we begin the instruction. You want a little good instruction from your Heavenly Father? Listen up. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Even more importantly than life in the flesh, we desire eternal life. Here's how you gain eternal life. Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Guile is deceit. If you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. That's a grandma's advice from many, many, many a grandpa. If you don't have something good to say about something or somebody, keep your mouth shut. There's no sense in even scattering it. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, follow or pursue peace and holiness. Holiness is sanctification, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you want to see the Lord? Follow these instructions. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. He sees and he hears. And if you love and serve him, if you revere him, he answers. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That's our enemies. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Where does Satan go after the great white throne judgment? He goes into the lake of fire. No more to be thought of again. You don't want to be in his group. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Some of your troubles? No. All of your troubles. The Lord is nigh and ready to help unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That's a crushed spirit. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. We endure pandemics just like everybody else. We endure troubles just like anybody else. But the Lord, the point of this psalm is, The Lord will deliver you from all of your troubles. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Not some, all. And you know, Satan's not dumb. Ezekiel chapter 28 states that God made him full of wisdom, the full pattern. He's not dumb. He's very, very, very smart. And, you know, he knows every single one of our weaknesses. Do you have any weaknesses? Boy, I sure do. And you know, Satan attacks those weaknesses. He's very good at spotting the weak link in your chain. And he'll attack that weak link. So when he starts attacking, remember this psalm. The Lord will deliver you from all your troubles, including Satan. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will care for you. That's providence. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. As we continue our study on providence. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. I'd like to have been there, would you? Man, what a sermon. Matthew chapter 6, let's pick it up with verse 19. The words of Jesus Christ. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You might have the fanciest wardrobe in Bella Vista. I don't know why I said Bella Vista, it just popped into my head. I saw some folks from Bella Vista. That's why I said it. That's a pretty fancy wardrobe. Because, I mean, those folks have got some nice duds. But you know what? You let a bunch of moths take off on that wardrobe, it would have more holes in it than a slice of Swiss cheese. Gold and silver, it rusts. A thief could break in and steal your wardrobe and your silver and your gold. Then where would you be? There's something much more important. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. That's something you can take with you. Your works. We learned that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, your works go with you. And you're going to be judged on those works. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your heart? You know, that's a good question to ask yourself occasionally. Where is my heart? My mind. Heart and mind are interchangeable in God's Word. Am I in the ways of the world? Or am I taking the righteous path? The path that God wants me to take? Am I building my treasures on earth? Or am I building them in heaven? The light of the body is the eye. The eye is the mirror of the soul. If therefore thine eye be single, this word is haplous in the Greek. It means clear. If your eye is clear, thy whole body shall be full of light. You ever seen somebody who's possessed by an evil spirit? Their eyes are cloudy. They're gray. They're smoky. And I've seen it many times that when you hit them with the oil of our people, instantly, I mean not 5 minutes, instantly, their eyes become clear. Now, that's not to say they won't become cloudy again, because if they don't do the right thing, they're going to be possessed again. But that's true. If the eye is clear, the body's full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That darkness is great. And if you have no light in your body, no Jesus Christ in your body, He's the light of the world, you're not a happy person. I can promise you're not a happy person. A lot of darkness in your days. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon you can think of as wealth. And it's not just being comfortable wealth, making a good, honest living wealth. It's greed. It's being obsessed with more money. Oh, if I ever had $100,000 in the bank, I'd be a wealthy person. Oh, then if I had $1 million, I'd be a wealthy person. Well, I got $1 million now. If I had $2 million, and it never stops. It never stops. And you talk about an unhappy person. I'll show you one right there. They don't have any happiness. Which do you serve? God or mammon? Jesus continues, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. This means don't take any worry about your flesh life. What ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Don't worry. Jesus knows your needs. Through providence, He cares for you. Behold the fowls of the air. Look at the wild birds, for example. For they sow not, they don't plant any seeds, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. They don't plant seeds, neither do they harvest. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And if you're one of His elect, beloved, I tell you, you're more important than the wild birds. Things have been tough throughout the pandemic. Things are going to get tougher if you're one of His elect. You're going to be delivered up. But know this. During that time, He's going to provide for you. Don't worry about food. Oh my goodness, here I am in prison for 10 days. What if they forget and don't bring me anything to eat? What if they don't bring me something to drink? I'm going to die. No, you're not. Why? Because if you're one of His elect, you think He's not going to provide you what you need? Of course He is. Yahweh Jiri, the Lord will provide. Which of you, by taking thought, by worry, can add one cubit unto his stature? This means, which of you can add one moment to your life by worry? If anything, worry is going to take away from how long you live, because you're going to be all stressed out. And why take ye thought or worry for raiment, for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. That means to weave. They don't make cloth or materials that go into making up linen or cloth. They don't weave cloth, but some of the most beautiful things in nature, in the world, are plants and flowers. I'm an orchidophile. That's something you probably learned something about me today that you didn't know before. I am an orchidophile. You know what that is? That's someone who loves orchids. I've got, I think at last count, about 26 orchid plants, and I love caring for them. But my point is, and what made me think of that is, you nurture that plant along, and you're looking for some little change, and you see a spike, and you go, "Ooh, a spike. I'm going to have some pretty orchids here before long." And sure enough, that spike grows, and then when that bloom pops, it's gorgeous. God knows what he's doing. Verse 29, "And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." You talk about a dude that had some fancy duds. It was Solomon, and he didn't live in Bella Vista. Nature is beautiful. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven," if it's wheat or barley, it's liable to go into the oven for bread, "shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Boy, Jesus hit it right on the head there. He's telling you that are worry warts, what causes that worry? Right there, he said it. "O ye of little faith." If you have faith in Jesus, if you have faith in the shepherd, you know you're not going to want for anything. There is no need to worry. "Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Don't worry. 90% of the things that people worry about never come to pass. And I'll tell you this, we've been talking about happy people and unhappy people. I haven't seen very many worry warts that are really, really happy people. They spend too much time worrying. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Those who don't have any faith, those who are unbelievers, they seek after food and drink and clothing. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." He knows and he will provide. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." There's enough trouble in the world today, and you don't need to start worrying about the trouble that tomorrow brings. Jesus sent the apostles into the world with very little, but they lacked nothing. Turn with me to Luke 22:21. Luke 22. Let's pick it up with verse 24. Jesus had just administered the first Holy Communion at the Last Supper. He said, "One of you betrayed me." He knew Judas Iscariot had betrayed him. What are the disciples worried about? Yeah, they're not too worried about who betrayed him, other than, was it me? Deer in the headlight look. And then they started wondering which of them was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He's getting ready to pay the price. You know, grace wasn't free. Jesus paid the price on the cross. And they're worried about which of them is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You talk about on an ego trip. Let's go with verse 24. "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he," this being Jesus, "said unto them, the kings," or the rulers, "of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. Don't be like the Gentile unbelievers. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, the least. And he that is chief or great, as he that doth serve. Christ served us all on the cross. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. You've been through it all with me. And I'm hearing you're worried about which one of you is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And I'm telling you, the greatest are those who serve. You want to be recognized as great? Serve. Serve your heavenly Father. Serve your brethren and your sisters. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. It's called the kingdom of God. That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what Paul meant in the New Testament when he said, don't you know you're going to be judging the angels concerning God's elect? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And you know what? Without Jesus Christ, Satan will sift you as wheat as well. He's not dumb. He's not dumb at all. He's supernatural. If you're one of God's elect, he wants you. He wants to sift you like wheat. Jesus continues, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted or recovered, strengthen thy brethren. It would be upon this rock, Petra, Peter, that the church would be built. And he, Peter, said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And you know what? Peter meant it. He's the one that took off the ear of Malchus when they came to take Christ to crucify him. Jesus picked up that ear and healed it. Peter wasn't a coward. This was, I think, for our learning. There's a lesson in this. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Not once, not twice, three times you're going to deny me. And I'm sure, I know that that broke Peter's heart. What's the lesson for us? Stay on top of your faith, beloved. Don't let your faith waver. If you do, Satan will sift you just like wheat. The reason we came here, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse, and scrip, and shoes, lacked you anything? I sent you out into the world with very, very, very little. And they said, nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You won't lack for anything, beloved. He will provide divine guidance in your life. He will care for you. He'll make sure that you have food to eat, that you have drink, that you have clothing. Do you want divine guidance in your life today? Quickly turn with me to John chapter 16, verse 7. John 16, 7. You want divine guidance in your life? Look to the Holy Spirit. John 16, 7, the words of Jesus. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. This word means it's good for you. It's to your advantage for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, note the capital C, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus was doing his best to prepare the disciples for the crucifixion. And they got sad. And he's telling them, look, it's good for you, it's to your advantage that I go away, because then I can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will reprove. This word means admonish or convict. There is going to be judgment, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. You see, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the religious leaders at the time, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. To them, sin was not obeying one of their directives, one of the instructions of the elders. We call them traditions of men. Breaking a tradition of men is not a sin in most cases. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, to the right hand of God's throne. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world is Satan. He's judged, and he goes into the lake of fire. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I could tell you, but you wouldn't understand, is what Jesus is saying. Howbeit, or however, when he, the Comforter, the Spirit, capital S, of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, not an egotistical bone in his body. That shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Look to the Holy Spirit for divine guidance, for care, for providence. Don't worry. Don't be anxious, beloved. I want you to be able to take comfort in God's promises. He didn't say, I'll deliver you from some of your problems. He said, I'll deliver you from all of your problems. That's especially important to his election. When you're delivered up, don't let your faith waver. Let's go to his throne. Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we love you, Father. We have missed being together and congregating and fellowshipping, Father, expressing our praise for you, Father, glorifying your name, Father. We appreciate this opportunity to gather once again, Father. Let everything we do the remainder of this day be to the honor and glory of your name and a reflection of the love that is Jesus Christ. In Yeshua's precious name, Father, amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
The Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible is an invaluable tool to the serious Bible student. The Strong's Concordance lists every word used in the Bible and every passage where the word utilized may be found in the Scriptures. With the assistance of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldean, or Greek in which God's word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strong's Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Dennis Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast CD, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a CD catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645, 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, P.O. Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, P.O. Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at the same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.